outdoor temperature, and they are so neat. I think they are the animal safety device invention of the century. So check them out. You can see them every Saturday at the Redmond Saturday Market from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. through October. Now, Ginger's Pet Rescue's fifth annual garage sale is September 23rd, 24th, and 25th, and it is in Seattle. There will be food, a psychic reader, and facials, and all the proceeds go to help the dogs, Ginger's Death Row Dogs. So check it out at www.gingerspetrescue.org. Mark your calendars for the 14th annual Black Cat Ball benefiting the kitties at Perfect Pals. And that will be Saturday, October 22nd at the Maidenbauer Center in Bellevue. And you can check that out at perfectpals.org. And that was yesterday. I forgot to take that one off. Okay, the Seattle Humane Society Walk for the Animals is at U Village Fido Fest September 25th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the U Village, and the Fido Fest is 11 to 4 p.m. www.seattlehumane.org/walk. And that pretty much covers it. Next week is Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And we'll have all our regulars on plus something new, so be here for that. And let's just wrap up this hour, and we're going to turn it right around, and we've got another hour with Help Animals India, so stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW, Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3, Seattle.
When the red, red robin comes bop, bop, bopping along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And today we have been focusing on Help Animals India. I am just delighted to have in the studio with me for the first time, but hopefully not the last, the president and founder of Help Animals India, Elaine Weintraub, is here. Elaine Weintraub and her husband, Mark Johnson. I'm just so excited about having the Jingle Cats back. That my brain is just kind of out there.
I definitely got uplifted from that.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, and Gary, how great was that? That he finally found it. Terrific. All right, so anyway, we are talking to Elaine and her husband Mark, and she's been taking us kind of through their story of how they discovered all the issues with animals in India, and created this organization of Help Animals India, and talking about all the phenomenal help that they are doing. And you can be in touch with them through their website at www.helpanimalsindia.org. But they've also got a Facebook page. You can access that through their website. But all of the photographs we've been talking about, and all of these really creative ways that these folks in India cart the animals around. And
I'll put them up by tomorrow.
Yeah, she's going to put them up on the Facebook page by tomorrow. So that's www.facebook.com/helpanimalsindia, or just go to helpanimalsindia.org, and there's a link to Facebook. So, Eileen, well, let's pick up where we left off, and what do you want to do next?
Well, I'd like to read a little bit from the website.
Sure, go ahead.
Just some general information. And it says, love for animals is universal. There are good people helping animals all over the world. India's animals and animal protectors face great challenges. But the Indian Animal Protection Advocacy Group, through their relentless efforts to identify animal law violations and engage with local law enforcement authorities, have repeatedly proven itself up to the task of making a difference for the animals. So we founded Help Animals India in 2008.
Oh, okay.
Up until then, I was working without the official 501c3.
Gotcha.
And now we're a registered USA nonprofit with matching funds on Microsoft.
Oh.
And
now, what does that mean? If you're a Microsoft employee and you donate to Help Animals India, they will match
they
the
will
donation?
Double it.
That is
yes.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's great.
And this facilitates the flow of support for worthy Indian animal protection groups. But Help Animals India is a labor of love. All travel expenses are self-funded, and neither myself nor any of our volunteers receive a salary. Donations go directly to benefit India's animals. And in India, these funds continue to go a long way. Typical monthly salaries are the equivalent of $500 U.S. dollars for a veterinarian per month.
Wow.
And $100 U.S. dollars for shelter or office help.
Wow.
And dog and cat spay-neuter operations average $10 to $12 each. And recently, we had a rabies outbreak in Andhra Pradesh. So we had to do a huge rabies program and vaccinate dogs for $1 each. We did 12,000 dogs.
Wow.
And that goes a long way to encourage people not to be afraid of the dogs and not to beat the dogs, which is worse for the rabies, and or redistribute them elsewhere, just dump them in some other locality.
Wow.
Anyhow, getting back to the website.
Yeah.
Animals everywhere need our love and protection. But it's a little promo, but when you donate to Help Animals India, your contribution helps many more animals than donations can to organizations in the developed world. India's population of 1.2 billion is due to overtake China in 20 years.
Wow.
So we have to help them develop strong programs to help the animals now before too many mistakes are made and they go down the wrong path. With 3 times USA's population and only 1/3 our landmass, the challenges are great indeed. But there is a lot of hope also. Knowing of all the problems and the potential to make a big difference there, we feel we have no choice but to keep trying our best for them. Please contact us with your ideas and contributions. India is home to a very large portion of the world's most needy animals. We have a vital mission, a duty of compassion to improve their lives.
Hear, hear.
Mm-hmm. Duty of compassion.
Yeah. And that's kind of staggering statistics. 3 times the population of the United States and 1/3 the landmass. And like 1.2 billion now, and that they're going to have a higher population than China. And China is a much
mm-hmm.
larger
mm-hmm.
country.
Yeah. So
right.
India is a very exciting place, a very dynamic place. And you take a lot of photos.
With lots of animals that need help.
Yeah. And you take a lot of photos there. Very colorful place with all the poverty. There's so much beauty. And the spiritual tradition has made everyone aware of the fact that that animals deserve our compassion, but it's just not practiced. And India's history included a golden period of King Ashoka, where all hunting was illegal, and, you know, kindness to all life. So, you know, we always think, oh, you know, they were primitive people, but, you know, that wasn't the case. There's a you know, the culture goes back thousands of years, and that's reflected.
King Ashoka had these laws carved into stone tablets,
which were
displayed for the public to see. So there was the awareness that kindness and compassion for animals was an integral part of a healthy, functioning society. And that was back in, I think, 600 A.D.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So,
but, yeah. So there was that golden period. Also, you know, it was, life was less crowded. You had the villages. You had a lot of other problems, the caste system. And, you know, I mean, it was a good period if you were of the right caste.
Yeah.
So the racial discrimination is illegal in India. But it still goes on
anyway.
Same way, like in our culture, you know.
Well, it's in their constitution. Yeah. You have to be compassionate to animals, but that doesn't actually mean that it happens.
Right.
And so we had people ask, you know, so people are kind of upwardly mobile. So that's why they want the imported pets, you know.
Gotcha.
The higher caste.
So let's see. I think we left off kind of in our trek. Well, weren't we in? We were in 2007 when Mark went for the first time.
2006.
And then in 2008, you started.
Well, I went back in 2007.
You went back in 2007, and that's right. You met with.
Yeah, the groups.
Then,
yeah. In 2008, I started the charity.
You started the charity for officially.
Yeah, and then 2010, I went back in
January.
Each time I try to go to a new area.
Ah,
I mean,
okay.
I love the South India, but, you know, India, you could spend lifetimes traveling around in.
Okay.
And so 2010, I went back, and I didn't.
So you went by yourself this time?
Yeah. And
left Mark at home to hold down the fort.
Well, he was still recovering from 2006.
But I had some cats who were my animal companions.
Yeah.
So I had friends to.
To keep me company.
Yeah, we had some, you know, pretty difficult cases of, you know, taking care of.
We take in some rescues, right, and some disabilities.
Help, fluids, and, you know, the bit, epilepsy, diabetes, but anyhow.
So you understand this adopt less adoptable animals campaign.
We do understand it, and that's been part of our life.
Well, every rescue I've done where the animal was adopted, that they get a home, and if they weren't adopted, we would keep them. And those are the best ones, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, I went back in 2010, and I didn't realize that YouTube was so easy. And I did take a few videos.
Uh-huh.
And so I did download them to YouTube when I got home.
Oh, so there are actually videos that you took people could watch on YouTube now?
Yeah, that's on our YouTube site, and that's you can click into that from the Help Animals India.
So you can access that from the helpanimalsindia.org.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And some of them I took, and some of them I'm just posting from the other groups that we're supporting.
All right.
So we're just developing.
Well, it's a much
channel.
Better way to really get a feel for what's going on is to actually watch a video or look at the photographs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent idea.
So I have one video there of the cat shelter at VSPCA, which is the group that I went up north, you know, to visit in 2003. And they're one of the only groups in India. There's just very few that have very good cat shelters.
Mm.
It's just such a new phenomenon. And so that's one of the videos on the website.
All right.
And I also have a link on the Help Animals India website of how to help the cats. It was a friend who does this report through Cats Examiner. Have you ever read that one? It's from San Francisco Examiner. She does an update, a cat story.
Uh-huh.
But she did one for us. So just how to donate, what we need to send over there to help the cats. And, you know, just education. People don't know about how to take care of cats. And, you know, talk about hoarding situations. Anyone who does care about animals, they're hoarding them. And they're not getting the help. And they don't trust the veterinarians to do a good job for spay-neuter. So they're afraid to take their animals in. So, you know.
Well, that's why these programs are so important, to get these vets over there, get them trained, so that they can do safe surgeries.
Yeah. So No, in 2010, I went back and I had a short vacation. It was just a few days with my animal rescue female friends in Bangalore, which is a pretty advanced city.
Southern India.
Southern India.
Okay.
And we went to see elephants in the wild.
I bet that was an experience.
Yeah, as you go out in these safari trucks, and you have to be very quiet. Even the clicking of a camera is too much. So you just sit there in the silence, and you don't realize that utter silence in the middle of the forest is so rare in our lives. And you just wait to see the animals come by. And they were waiting for a tiger, and there was some deer there, and I was sort of hoping the tiger didn't come, because, you know, catching the deer. But we did see elephants.
Speaking of deer, a deer crossed the highway in front of me this morning on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Made it all the way across. Well, you know, I just recently got those deer whistles.
They work?
Well, I don't know, but a lot of people have told me they work.
Uh-huh.
So, and they're like $6 at the auto supply store, so I put them on my car. General principles. Now, the deer crossed the highway much, much farther ahead of me than the deer whistles would have made any difference.
Mm.
I had plenty of time to slow down, and actually there were a couple of cars in front of me, and everybody was able to slow down. And the deer just trucked right on, and there was nobody coming the other direction, so it was early enough in the morning that it made it safely across the highway. But so maybe some deer messages today.
Deer messages.
They do have deer in India, because that's one of the things I want to cover. So you were out in a safari. There were elephant and deer, and you were mentioned
monkeys, peacocks.
Peacocks. Mm-hmm. Peacocks in India.
And peafowl, yeah.
And
the sound of peacocks is very common in parts of India. You know, and but when you mentioned the deer crossing the road, getting our area with where we have a wildlife passages where they build them in.
Yes.
And a friend of mine who has an animal welfare group in Africa just wrote me. He's fighting a highway through the Serengeti.
Oh, my.
So I sent him our information.
Because
here.
I-90, they're doing work on I-90 here locally to make underpasses and overpasses for the animals, which is fabulous.
Animal corridors, right.
Yeah.
So So I sent him the information about the animal corridors, so hopefully he'll be successful.
Well, you cover
in his battle. Well, and this is all through Animal People News, which I'll just give a mention of them, and they do a monthly newspaper that covers.
Now, do they have a website or some kind of place that our listeners can access?
Yeah, and they have a actual newspaper that they.
So what, like animalnews.com or .org
Animal People News.
Animalpeoplenews.org,
and they're actually the ones who told me about these animal shelters in India before I went there.
Because
you know, if you have a question about animals worldwide, they can animalpeoplenews.org.
animalpeoplenews.org.
And they're right here in Whidbey Island.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know, something about the water in our area, because I'm helping animals in India, and then there was a family in West Seattle. They went and moved to India to start an animal shelter.
Wow.
So there's a great tradition of people, mostly women, from Australia, the UK, One person from Denmark, one person from Finland, because, you know, it's closer for them than for us. We're here in the middle of an island. we have oceans.
Turtle Island,
both sides of us. But for the rest of the world, they are a lot closer. So a lot of people from UK and Europe had been to India, and women mostly. They go there, they're appalled by what they see. So they stay and set up shelters.
Oh.
And so I know a lot of these women, and some of them we're helping through our website. So it's a mixture of Indians and Westerners.
Okay, so 2010, is that the last time you've been over?
Yes, it is. And I went to a place called Bodh Gaya, which is where the Buddha became enlightened. And that's in one of the poorest areas of India.
Wow.
So we have an animal sanctuary there that we're helping.
Maybe you could describe some of that experiences in Bodh Gaya.
Oh, well, it wasn't the best animal sanctuary, and still working at trying to improve it. But they're the only place there, and there's no veterinarian in that entire area. So I was there.
Sounds like that was kind of a heart-wrenching experience, huh?
It was difficult because they brought in a puppy who'd been attacked by another dog.
Aww.
And I was there alone with it, and I had to be calling up veterinarians I knew on my phone to find out what to give it to relieve its pain, and it did finally pass away. And another dog, puppy I brought in, died of distemper. I would have been better off having left it on the street. And it's so cute, these little guys.
Oh, yeah.
So that was difficult, but they did an ABC animal birth control program.
Huh.
And they these groups worldwide who fund these, not just Help Animals India. The Brigitte Bardot Foundation is very active worldwide.
Ah.
You might recall that Brigitte Bardot is a great friend of the animals.
Yeah, well, now that you mentioned it, I'm remembering that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of groups that are helping in India, and there's a lot of this
like
work
you know
for
about
everybody.
All of them.
Well, we've been involved all these years. And,
super. Now, have you got plans to go back again?
Well, there's a new project we're doing in a place called Varanasi, and that's a very...
Is this southern India?
No,
or
this is northern India.
Okay.
Don't forget, I've been to Tibet.
Right.
Which is north of the Himalayas, and I've been all over South India, but I haven't been in...
Been to China, too.
Yeah, well, China.
So that looks like that's another story. We got an eye roll on that one.
Well, China was a big part of our lives, Mark and I, in the 80s. We lived in San Francisco, and we both went to acupuncture school. And so China, it was like 80s was China, and 90s and now is India.
My grandparents were in Berkeley, California. Mm. My mother grew up in Berkeley. So as a child, we visited a lot and went to the city. We got to go to the city and ride the cable cars. And of course, and my favorite place to go was Chinatown.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I just loved that. And I was just a little kid. But anyway, I loved the energy.
Well,
there.
That's another story of the activists in China and, you know, shutting down the trucks that are full of cats and dogs for the meat market. And that's changed a lot, too, in the last 10 years. But, you know, as much as everything's changing and people are learning more about compassion, mm-hmm. the pollution is just overwhelming. So this one city,
Are we talking China now or India?
Both.
Everywhere?
Everywhere. Malaysia, everywhere. You know, we are living in a paradise, the Pacific Northwest.
Wow.
No, we are, and we're living in a bubble also compared to what's going on in the rest
really
of the world.
We really are, aren't we?
Yeah. So, you know, enjoy it and realize it. And when you come back from India or any of these places, you just feel so empowered to make a difference because of all of our advantages here. And, you know, it's hard to, when you're here, you know, you sort of start forgetting it after a while. So you have to remember that again.
I just have to tell Gary, Scotty had to leave early, so he's out of here. Thank you, Scotty, by the way. And, so if you call in at the last minute, bear with us, because Scotty isn't on the phones, and Gary has to do triple duty. And anyway, so...
Well, anyhow, I was talking about this place called Varanasi.
Yes.
So
this is in northern India,
Northern India, right?
Okay.
We got the geography there. Yeah. Okay.
So if you know anything, if any yogis are listening out there, you go to yoga centers, or it's also used to be called Benares.
Okay.
And that's the place where Indians would go to. If you died there, you went to heaven, no problem. And that's all. Maybe you've seen pictures of the burning ghats, they call them, where the bodies would go out for cremation.
Uh-huh.
That's a very spiritual place in India. However, there is no help to the animals. And you'd get Westerners going there, contacting you, what can you do? And finally, there's a wonderful woman there who is making a difference. She's just started a sanctuary, and they're just starting an ABC program. So we want to help them with that. So that's very exciting, and that's a brand new project.
And it sounds like this ABC program is really one of the most important, or maybe the largest and widespread in the country, and so important because of the just overrun of the dogs everywhere, and now the cats as well.
Well, the cats are in the major cities for people who are just starting to get pets.
Yeah.
And that's one of the projects we support called Catitude Trust in Chennai. Uh-huh. And she's just one of the experts for cat behavior.
All right.
So she's very busy advising everybody else.
Now, you also, you've mentioned in passing, and I know there's a brochure here, but there apparently is work going over there related to sea turtles.
Right, sea turtles on the coast on the Bay of Bengal.
Well, this is the group, the SPCA, and their website is, you can see that through the Help Animals India link, and that was the first place I started helping.
No, really?
And they have the sea turtles coming. It's mostly olive ridley sea turtles. And they come in not only there, but north. Mm. And they also had to teach the fisher people, they call them fisher people instead of fishermen, fisher people how to not poach them, because no one told them, hey, these are special beings.
And so what do they poach them? Do they eat like turtle soup, that sort of thing?
It's not as common in China, but certainly they were eating them before. So anyhow, they...
So some of it is just out of ignorance. They don't know any better, mm-hmm. and it's a food source until...
Right.
Now, do you find that they're educated and learn that they are endangered and need to be protected, do they cooperate?
Is years. This one group has a program that's going on 14 years now, and
wow.
finally they got some government support.
Excellent.
And there's something called a TED device, turtle excluder device, that the trawling vessels are supposed to use that keep out the sea turtles, and that's worldwide. So
like deer whistles, only mm-hmm. turtle whistles
for fishing trawlers.
But they're a little expensive, so a lot of vessels weren't using them.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, to prove that these turtles existed there, this group had to do turtle counts every year. And this was the group that was already rescuing every other animal. And we were like saying, oh, no, you can't do that also.
You can't do turtles, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's where volunteers played a role, that were coming over. And volunteers were walking the beaches, counting turtles and doing observations on the health of the turtles. So people that were looking for volunteer opportunities were useful in that way for turtle census.
Yeah, so and that's a program where you can go over and be a sea turtle volunteer. It's generally in the winter months, getting towards February and March. And then, you know, the sea turtle hatching, where you protect the baby.
Because the turtles crawl up onto the sand, onto
yes.
the beaches, and
mm-hmm.
lay their eggs in the sand.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then go back out to sea.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then at some point,
yes.
the babies
right.
hatch
right.
and come out of their eggs,
yes.
and then they have to make it back into the sea.
Yes.
Right.
And they're very vulnerable at that point. So you say that there are organizations then of, like, humans that protect and keep help the little babies
get back to
the ocean.
This is worldwide, all over the coast, right. all over the world. We have them in Florida and Costa Rica and Israel. And so to protect these, this is an endangered species. So
mm-hmm.
there's several different varieties of sea turtles and Camp Olive Ridley. So they had the one version, so they would protect them. And... they need darkness when they hatch because they have to see the moonlight to know, I guess the moon is over the ocean, or so they have to know where the ocean is. So
and that's how they know.
That's how they know. So if they have like beach development, and it messes all up their systems. And
well,
so
we humans have a tendency to do that, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So there's, you know, development going on to protect the beach areas.
So there had to be protected areas set aside, and
mm-hmm.
developers had to
yeah.
recognize those areas as being safe for turtles.
There's the phone, Gare.
So there's one area, so you can't have development on the beach. And this is one area at the VSPCA that has the program, and they have
uh-huh.
it's an area for the Navy, India's Navy. And they had this submarine that they dragged up on the beach, and it was interfering with the sea turtle. So after the tsunami, the one man we're working with, Pradeep Nath, he said he wished the tsunami had taken away the submarine.
Why can't it, yeah.
Why couldn't it just pull it out to
yeah,
sea?
Yeah, just take it back out with
but,
you.
But it was still there.
That makes sense. Huh. Wow. Now, you know, one thing we haven't talked about yet, and I think you mentioned when you were there, and was it 2010 you were there and went on to that little safari thing? Didn't you mention tigers? So there are tigers?
Yeah, we just missed seeing a tiger. Tigers, I think, at the turn of the century, there was something like 30,000 tigers in India. Now, they were, in 1985, they were like 1,500, so that's when they started becoming alarmed.
Yeah.
And so a lot of groups started pitching in, and every year they do a tiger census, and we met the tiger census team. It was very exciting. And so the population is still on the brink, but has a good chance. So, you know, they have to fight poachers, and wildlife wardens have to patrol.
Because aren't tigers poached? Because aren't their body parts used in Chinese medicine
or something? That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
tiger bones are used.
Very valuable, as is rhinoceros horn.
Yeah, that was one of the stories I had in the news.
Yeah,
was,
I think rhinoceros horn is
because they're talking about in some, well, this is South Africa, but they're talking about that the poachers are doing such damage to the rhinoceroses because they'll just go out there and cut off their horns and then leave them to bleed to death, that they're actually starting a program now to dehorn wild rhinoceros. Right. So people won't poach them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really sad that we have to go that far.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of the conflict with the wildlife is because of the farmers and the villages. There's no place for these animals. You know, just like when a cougar comes into our neighborhood, a coyote comes, people don't want them, so the farmers don't want them. Where are they left to go? And in Africa, there's actually more room for them. So when we were on that trip, and I think I sent you those photos of the rescued leopard cubs.
Yeah.
And that was a real thrill. I don't really want to say, the elephants, monkeys, they're a thrill. You know, mostly we're rescuing dogs and cats and cows and the animals we're used to. But it's really exciting to be around these other animals.
Anytime you have a chance to connect with wildlife in that way is can be a phenomenal experience.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible beings, incredible energy. And the photographs of those leopard.
Well, so when we were on our little safari, the woman I was with, who's the head of another organization in Bangalore, that we helped their elephant project, and that's a link on our website, called Coupa, which stands for Compassion Unlimited Plus Action.
Uh-huh.
So she was on vacation, but there is no such thing. And she got a call that there were some rescued leopard cubs. Would we go see them and see what's the guy going to do with them? He didn't know what to do with them. So I pictured, little 1 foot, 2 foot guys, something like that.
Yeah.
So we made this track out to see them, and this man had found them. The mother had been shot, and there were two babies. And he should have called a little earlier, because these were now about 6 months old.
Oh, so they're probably pretty big by
then.
Yeah.
So we were allowed in the room with them, and they had handlers to make sure they, behaved themselves. Which was wonderful, too. Now, leopards
are... I have to admit, when you sent me the photographs, you said, leopard babies. I was expecting smaller cubs. But they were pretty large.
Yeah, and leopards are a little too common in India. They're sort of like cougars are in this country.
Cougars are here,
yeah.
Okay.
So farmers don't want them, and the zoos are filled up with them. So there's really a habitat problem.
Issue.
Yeah, so anyhow, we spent an afternoon playing with them, and my friend, who's a very dedicated activist, she donated her shoes because they made nice toys for them. These canvas shoes that they could...
Canvas tennis shoes? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so they had a lot of fun with them. They didn't exist after about 30 minutes, but the shoes didn't. So anyhow, the latest I heard was that they were sent to a more qualified rehab place, and they were eventually released.
All right.
So that was good. But, it's the animal activists that we support have the knowledge to go out to the public and help with that. Otherwise, there's really no groups, like they don't, Greenpeace and wildlife groups aren't very strong there. There's a tremendous need for any wildlife veterinarians to go over there. The knowledge that they could present would be a big help, because that's another thing that
now, would that
they don't
be
learn
on
in the schools.
A visiting basis or a move over their full-time work basis or both or either? Or
well, you know, veterinarians, they have their practice here, and they some of the vet schools, they have to volunteer as part of their hours.
Right.
So we do get some vet students, third year, fourth year, who want to go over there.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think anyone, you know, a salary that they're going to get would compare to anything they could get here. So if they want to go over there and work for $600 a month, we'd love them to do that.
Well, I would imagine, though, if you're living over there, that's got to be compatible with the cost of living. It's got to be much lower, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the cultural enrichment is invaluable.
Well, of course.
So, you know, don't forget India.
Not to mention the soul enrichment.
Soul enrichment,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Yes.
By serving and giving in that mm-hmm. way. And mm-hmm. let's face it, if you're, I would hope that if you're going into veterinary medicine, you're doing it to serve the animals. Although the first veterinarian I worked with went to vet school on a bet, and so I spent 11 years apologizing for him. But, you know, I like to think that most go into it for altruistic
reasons.
Well,
now the younger people are, there's more women. But, you know, in this country, it's mostly women, or a great proportion is women veterinarians. In India, it's still all men, and went in for a government career, because it's a stable job. And the Indian animal welfare groups have a hard time keeping these veterinarians, because they can go and get a government job inspecting farm animals instead, and that with more security, because we have a lot of trouble paying them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like any other groups. But, you know, I always say at least we can afford to hire one in this country for an animal sanctuary to have its own vet. They have to be pretty well off to have their own veterinarian on staff, you know.
But there's progress, and Suparna's daughter is becoming a vet now, and she'll come back to Indian practice.
Yeah.
So the education level does increase, does progress, and young people go out of the country and get very qualified training and then come back to India and come back with new skills and can help in the communities where they came from.
All right. Well, before we run out of time, now that Gary is back, and I would imagine that Gary's back because I'm psychic. I bet they're here. Are they here?
How did you know?
I'm psychic.
Wow, that's amazing.
The psychics are here for the brand new show that's going to start right here at noon to 1, A Psychic Speaks. Except it's more than A Psychic Speaks, because there's three of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do all kinds of cool stuff, and they need your phone calls. They read for humans and animals and all of that. So stay tuned after Animal World so you can be the first callers. So that they don't have to sit through a whole hour and read for themselves. Gary, they'll all have to read for you.
Well, and that won't be entertaining radio, so.
Well, you could have them read for Finley and Baker. And
I think a lot of callers would be better.
Yeah, a lot of callers would be better. Yeah. So help Gary out and A Psychic Speaks, and so you guys can all call. Now, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then Eileen and Mark, when we come back, you know, we're going to have about 15 minutes left, so we definitely want to cover the bases on how people can help and get involved, and then whatever else you want to get in while we're here, okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right, so stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now mark your calendars. Animal World will be broadcasting live again this year at Jones & Company's annual blowout sale. We will be there live on Sunday, October 2nd. And I really want you to come out and be there for the live broadcast. And it's worth it because they've got great sales on everything in the store and lots of freebies and stuff. And I'll even be taking animal behavior training and healing questions on the air. You can talk to me live, and I'm free when I'm on the radio. So I hope you'll come and support Jones & Company and Animal World on October 2nd live at the store. They're on State Avenue in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs and prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com. The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made breeze guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits in your car's windows. Breeze Guard keeps your dog in the car with the windows open. It keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to BreezeGuard.net for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out Breeze Guards now at the Redmond Saturday Market.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Sunday morning here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And I should just say that Steph, Mark got your message. Insider joke here, huh? Now, at any rate, we have been featuring all show Eileen Weintraub, founder and president of Help Animals India, and her great husband, Mark Johnson, who is like right-hand man and does all kinds of other stuff. And we've been hearing the story about, I have learned so much about India and about the animals in India and the work that's being done to help them and how much work and how much help is needed. And I was wondering, would I feel comfortable wanting to contribute to an organization where the money's going to other places over in India? And I have to say, I am totally impressed with Eileen and Mark, and I am absolutely convinced they know what they're doing, and they've got all their ducks in order, and I would feel totally comfortable funneling my help through Eileen and Mark to help the animals. So before we get into any more stories or details about the animals in India, if we have time, let's make sure that everybody knows how they can help and support you and help Animals India.
Okay, well, firstly, when I was a donor my whole life, and when I became a fundraiser, I felt responsible for every penny that I asked anyone for. So when you start a 501c3, you are responsible, especially when you're sending money out of the country.
Right.
The IRS really expects you to do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
So each time we give a grant, we have all the facts and details about what happens to every penny or every rupee.
So you pay attention to all of that.
Yeah, and we have to, and that's our job.
And I can just tell by your energy, folks, she pays attention to every penny. Yeah.
Well, sometimes I might give them a hard time. I mean, you know, they're out busy rescuing the animals, but they also have to
Be accountable.
Due diligence.
Uh-huh.
And,
absolutely.
You know, because we are representing the people here who can't go over there and see what's going on. So any amount you can send, we have PayPal, a monthly donation. If you can contribute $10 a month, that's one dog every month you can help. Mm-hmm. And we also send over supplies. If you have gently used collars or other small supplies. Although I did just send over a cat fountain to my friend. But I try not to be involved with that because it's, you know, expensive. And we have sort of a underground railroad of people going over there that we try to give them supplies to take over. And we there's also volunteering. But, you know, that's for people who really want to go to India anyhow. You know, you're much better off donating your airfare if you want to help. But
no, what about when you say, so you were talking about volunteers going to India and helping. But
yeah.
What about, can you use volunteers to help you here to do things? Have you?
Well, for administrative work.
For administrative stuff and that kind of thing?
And certain, everything is done by the website, done by volunteer. That new brochure you have is done by a volunteer. And so with volunteers going over there, just showing by kindness, Indians don't know how to, some of the Indians, you know, they'll beat the dog. And if you show them that there's another way, and you're generally respected as a Westerner, so they will listen to you when you're over in India. And there's a worldwide network of volunteers, and a friend of mine, Nola Lee Kelsley, she's written a book on volunteering worldwide. And she has all the animal groups listed. So some people do this as sort of a career, you know, those who can. And so if anyone emails me, I can send them the link to that book.
Do you have the title of that book offhand?
Oh. And, you know, I can send it by email.
Okay. And you can, and people can access you through email through the website?
Yeah, it just says contact us.
Okay.
Or info@helpanimalsindia.org is
the
email. Right.
info@helpanimalsindia.org or go to the website and click on contact us.
Okay. And then should we give the address out?
Oh, sure.
People who don't have internet?
Yeah, but we do have people that listen that don't do computers. So we need an address to send money to.
Yeah, any checks are most welcome. You'll get a tax deductible receipt plus a very colorful brochure.
All right.
And a letter describing what we do. And the address is Help Animals India, 19215 32nd Avenue Northeast.
32nd Avenue Northeast.
And that's Seattle, Washington 98155.
Okay, so mailing address, if you'd like to send a donation, Help Animals India, 19215, 32nd Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98155. And the website is www.helpanimalsindia.org. Mm-hmm. You can click on Contact Us, or you can email info@helpanimalsindia.org.
Right. And because every, even $5 that we receive can go further in India, we have a program with our PCC Natural Markets, if any PCC shoppers mm-hmm. out there, and it's called the Script Card. And if you use it to shop at PCC, and you fill it up just like a debit card,
mm-hmm.
and PCC will donate 5% of your purchase to Help Animals India.
Oh.
So it's a really good deal. Even if you spend $10 a week at PCC, at the end of the year,
that's a lot.
That'll be, I think, $25 to Help Animals India.
Excellent.
So if you contact us, we'll send you the card. And
super.
We have Microsoft Matching Fund.
Yeah.
So
that's if you work at Microsoft, folks. If you donate, then Microsoft will match your donation. That's excellent. Now, does that cover the bases in terms of how our listeners can help?
Well, the link, you know, there's a lot of cat lovers, and if they go to the website, there's a link that describes what we need to help the cats.
Excellent.
And that's over on the right-hand side.
All right.
Of the website.
So we good on all of that?
So
yeah,
thank you.
That gives us a few minutes to talk about elephants.
Okay.
Five
the biggest save for last.
Yeah.
Elephants. We call them the mostly gentle jumbos.
Yeah.
And, we were talking about corridors.
Uh-huh.
So that's needed in India because a lot of them don't.
Elephant corridors.
Yeah, they get hit on the train tracks. And they go trampling through the field. So there's 3,500 captive elephants in India.
Wow.
And 20,000 in the wild still.
Now, would these be Asian elephants as opposed to African elephants?
Well, they'd be Indian.
Indian. Yeah. Indian elephants.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube video up on taking care of an elephant.
Yeah, in Kupa. So I have a link on the website that says our elephant project at one of the sanctuaries.
There's a book that you brought in.
Okay, this book is called Gods in Chains.
And the photograph on the front of the cover of the book, folks, is this huge elephant foot with chains all around it.
But, you know, not every photograph in the book is like that. There's some other nice-to-look-at photographs. And it just describes India's elephant situation and all about the mahouts, which are the caretakers of them.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. So, and the great tradition that India has for thousands of years. So,
wow.
And the groups that are working very hard to free the elephants and have the first Indian elephant sanctuary. Right now, there's no sanctuary for them.
Wow.
So we are getting them out of zoos and circuses, and they actually made it illegal.
We need to do that in our country, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You have a program on your website, an archive, about the situation mm-hmm. in our mm-hmm. country. Well, anyhow, they passed a law saying that the elephants needed to leave the zoos and circuses.
Mm-hmm.
But even though that was 2 years ago, where are these elephants going to go?
So they have to have a place to go.
Yeah, we don't have the Tennessee elephant sanctuary. Plus, there's so many of them. So
we have that fabulous the sanctuaries here in the United States.
So there's a lot of privately owned elephants that are treated terribly, and they're around for begging, and the whole tradition of elephant keeping in our modern world.
Wow.
Has
there's
changed.
Some phenomenal photographs in this book. And
so
a lot
this book
of
is available for $35. Anyone can contact me. I can send it to them.
Gods in Chains by Rhea Ghosh.
And all Ghosh, done by activists.
Ghosh.
Mm-hmm. Ghosh, G-H-O-S-H. Rhea, R-H-E-A. And this is available through you?
Yes. And these are
it's
done by my activist
book.
Friends who just went around taking photographs all over India.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, there's so many animals that need help, and especially the elephants.
Oh, we have camels also.
Camels. All
right.
So you're helping everything and everybody.
Donkeys.
Helping everybody.
And donkeys are the sweetest animals that are abused for work and not taken care of. So we're trying to help a lot of donkeys.
Donkeys, too. And they're incredibly intelligent.
Horses.
Animals and horses. So there's all kinds of stuff. Well,
mm-hmm.
You know, that just means that we have a lot more to talk about. So We will absolutely have you back for regular updates on Shelter Rescue Sanctuary Sundays, you know, here and there. But there's enough here. And how soon do you plan your next trip back? Do you know?
Well, there's a saying in India, make plans and God smiles.
Uh-huh. So God laughs, yeah.
God laughs. So it'll evolve organically, I think.
All right. So, well, you keep us informed on that, and then at some point we'll do another show and update everything and more details on what's going on, because this is an ongoing commitment that I'm making to help the animals in India.
Okay, and I just want to thank anyone listening who helps animals in our area for your compassion of thinking about the animals in India, and local first, but save a little bit for others, too.
Absolutely. And make sure you check out their website, www.helpanimalsindia.org.
Right.
Eileen Weintraub and Mark Johnson, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you, Martha.
And we'll look forward to our next conversation.
Us, too. We can't wait.
We're looking forward.
All right. Okay. Now, let's change gears, because we are... we are welcoming a brand new show starting at noon. You made it 3 whole hours. Yeah. All right. And so joining me now, and who's going to take over my spot here for the next hour, is Jan.
That's correct.
We've got her. Is she on? Jan, and you are what we call you the hostess or the host of A Psychic Speaks?
Well, I guess I'd say I was the moderator.
The moderator?
Because I have two other co-hosts.
That's so funny, because that moderator was the word that was in my mind, but I didn't let it come out of my mouth.
Gosh,
I must be psychic, huh? How fun. So tell us about your show, A Psychic Speaks.
Well, our show, Psychic Speaks, is there's three of us psychics, and we take live call-in questions from our listeners. We have a television show in Seattle on channel 77/23.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been there since 10 years. And
that's a long time.
It is. And we also have a cooking show.
Oh, called a psychic cooking show?
Yes, it is.
Well, you close your eyes and just pull ingredients off the shelf and throw them in a pot or what?
No, actually our motto is open the can and in the pan. It's very basic cooking. We want to get right to it. You know, you come home, you're real hungry, grab stuff out of the cupboard and just put together a meal. And the men love our show. We just hear from men, and they say it's so much fun.
So it is sort of psychic cooking.
Yes, it's campy, I guess.
Oh, that's fun. So. Well, we were talking about it earlier that we want our listeners to stay tuned, and there's three of you, and you do different kinds of psychic reading type stuff. You talked about tarot and some other things.
Yes, I will start with Carolyn first, because she is my co-host partner on the television show. She does runes.
Mm-hmm.
She does palmistry. She does Native American cards. She does angels and fairy cards.
Wow.
And psychometry. Of course, okay. We can't do psychometry on the air, but, you know, we can do the runes.
Uh-huh.
And she's a very good palmist. And my other partner, co-host, is Jeannie, and she does MasterCards, Angels and Fairies, and she developed this, I would say, a doodle, a sophisticated type of doodle where you come in, you close your eyes, you scribble on a piece of paper, and then she does a past, present, and future reading on that. And it's very interesting. She's the only one that does it in the area.
You know what I bet you could do is if you had got a... email thing set up here, you could have listeners at home scribble and then scan it into their and email it to you here on the air.
Sure. They could do that if they wanted to.
And Gary, if you wanted to use the Animal World email address for that, you could do that if you want to. So that's just my suggestion, because we figured, well, if nobody calls folks, then they're just going to have to read for Gary and Mary and Finley and Baker and they get stories and all of that. So, well, anyway, welcome to KKNW.
We're delighted
to have you. And we will stay tuned and listen. And you want everybody to call in?
Oh, yes, we sure do.
And you will use the regular call-in numbers. I'll let them tell you all about that when they start their show, because I'm not sure how soon they want to take calls. But folks, stay with them and know that they read for humans. They can read for animals, too. So if you need readings on your animals,
Oh, yes, and, we do readings on animals, and people are really amazed when you give them a reading on their animal, because you would think that a furry little four-legged animal doesn't have a story to tell, and they really have a story to tell.
Oh, well, that's nothing new to our listeners, because we do that all the time around here. So, but it would be real nice to know that you're here after Animal World every Sunday, so people need to know more about their animal friends. They can call you guys up.
And... Oh, sure. And I do numerology, by the way. I do tarot, cool. Numerology, and handwriting analysis.
Very cool. All right. Well, I got to let you know that we are out of time. And next week, Shelter Rescue Sanctuary, anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And Eileen, Mark, Help Animals India, thank you very, very much. Gary, thank you. And we're ready to go. All right. Let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart. And share your love with all living things, and we will talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.